Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You've come to the show Edge of Truth. We're glad all of you are with us again today. Our guest call-in number is 619-789-4304, 619-789-4304. My name is Will Gable, along with Sharon Quinn. We're happy to have all of you with us today. Our chat room is also open for any questions, ideas, opinions that you might have. So today we wanted to get into kind of a follow-up into last week's show, which was Got Spirituality Nutrition. This is a little bit different arena here in the sense of how are you feeding your soul truly from, say, the inside, the outside in, and then how are you expressing this is what we're talking about today, is what is spirituality nutrition in action. And so we wanted to get more into that as an outward expression here of what that really means. Sharon, how are you today?
I'm doing really well. Good morning, everybody. I hope the sun is shining where you are. It's bright and shiny here, because that always helps us look at the day and feel like, all is really well today. And that is because we're stressed. Living in the world that we're living in, we're stressed. And when everything else around us is clear and unobstructed and we have less to do to get about our daily chores, well, that makes us feel just a little bit lighter inside. But we don't often reflect upon these things, do we? So what we're going to talk about today with spirituality nutrition in action is, let's clarify just a little bit more the idea of spirituality nutrition. Spirituality is spirit in actuality. It means your ability to actually be your presence, to be who you are. Versus spiritual, which is spirit, your spirit relationship in a ritual. And in essence, when we go to church every Sunday and we pray and we worship, when we pray, when we build altars in our homes and try to do devotionals and things like that, what we're really doing is having our relationship with the Creator God in a ritual. We're not really embracing and opening ourselves up to be like an open cup to receive the Creator that we are. Now, that's the difference between spirit in actuality and spirit as a ritual. So spiritual is basically what we are used to. That is our collective consensus. We pretty much agree around the world that we fall into that as a default way to have a relationship with the Creator. And whether we do our rituals as a Buddhist, or we do them as a Taoist, or we do them as a Methodist, or we do them as a Catholic, or we do them as some kind of spiritualist, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter. And I'm not going to run the whole list, because that's crazy. Waste our precious time. But that's just the point. There was a list. If we were really united in loving our neighbor as ourself, we were being and functioning in a consciousness as a unity of oneness, we would not be so divided with all of our little pedestals and all of our little islands that this is the right and only way and everybody else is not doing it whatever it is, our ritual, the right way. That in itself should have been raising a red flag for humanity for thousands of years. But it's interesting when we get caught in something and we sink into it as if it is the only thing that's really there and the truth that is, we find ourselves not contemplating and reflecting its validity. And therein we start to no longer be nutritioned. We move into just ritualizing and doing things from a relatively mindless position because we're just doing and going through. We may be pouring our heart and soul into it and our emotion, but we're not pouring in our mindfulness and our reflection about not just what is my relationship to the Creator, but is the way I'm thinking about my relationship to the Creator correct? We all know if you try to do anything in the world that's not the correct way, you're going to be frustrated. Isn't that correct? Of course you'll be frustrated. It'll backfire on you, or it'll work for just a little bit, and then it'll all fall apart, and you'll realize, oh, that wasn't correct either. The same thing, if we don't put ingredients together correctly in a recipe, the food doesn't taste very good, does it? We understand the concept of doing things a correct way, but we don't apply that to the way we think and relate and pursue the life of our relationship that draws us closer to being more at one with who we are, more at one with the Creator. So it becomes a lot of ideas and concepts that when we put them into action are just nothing more than putting ideas and theories into an action. And the idea of correctness is extremely, extremely important. I'm not using the word as a judgment. I'm using it as it either works as offered, the way it needs to work, or it doesn't. And in this case, if we're talking about our relationship with the Creator, don't you think the Creator needs to be part of what is correct? What the Creator wants, the way the Creator wants it? Is it what we've been told, or is that not exactly correct? Because if it isn't, then we're pouring all our heart and soul, all our practices, all our time, all our attention, putting all of our actions into something that is not going to necessarily work the way we thought. Now, that might be a scary thought, and I think there are some of you listeners who are hearing this, and you might be going, you know, that's a very scary question to contemplate. One, I don't really know the real answer, and therefore, to pursue that means I also don't know where I need to go, because I really don't know what the real answer is, and at least I have the comfort by telling myself that I'm doing something and I'm doing it with the right intention. Maybe the Creator God will just overlook that. I get it. I've been there myself. I was there most of my life, actually. But when I had my after-death experience, I was confronted face-to-face with the reality that we weren't doing things correctly, that we were being misled by the religions, and that the traditions, spirit traditions, had a limit. And it was time for us to mature our viewpoint and to really get clarity about straightening out what has been correct versus what has been imagined or believed to be true that isn't necessarily true, so that we could really stop playing this distance game with the Creator. It's time. We're mature enough, we're educated enough as a race, and it's time for us to mature our thoughts about this and get the real skinny. I mean, you want the skinny on everything else. Why don't you have what as one of your priorities? Let's get the skinny on exactly what is correct and true with the divine. So, as a unity of oneness, that's a principle that we talk about. Love your neighbor as yourself speaks directly to it as an action. That would be a spiritual, not a spiritual as a ritual, but your spirit in action, connecting from one heart to the other heart and caring about them and treating them as you would treat yourself. If you wouldn't want something done to you, well, then you wouldn't go and do it to another. That is getting your spirit in actuality, in an action that is completely resonant and completely at one and is going to work in miraculous ways because it is the way the divine wants us to work. Because when you do what is correct with the divine, you start seeing more and more miraculous things around you. Your life starts to work better. There's more harmony. The stress starts to lift. You start to feel a different kind of comfort. Not the comfort of going and being mindless by disconnecting and dissociating a little bit and just hoping for the best, because that's what pretty much most religions ask us to do, but the peace that comes with being able to feel more and more intimacy with the divine. The other day I was out and I met this great little person, and I say little just because her stature is little, but her person is huge and big and bright. And I asked her, I said, you know, do you think God wants to tango with you? Or do you think God would prefer that you be at a distance and worshiped? She stopped cold in her tracks, and she looked at me and said, I don't know. She said, but I never, ever thought of it before. Oh my God. And so I said, well, think about it. Why wouldn't the divine rather be in the dance with you, eye to eye, cheek to cheek, with your higher self, your God presence, leading you through life, dancing you through life from that leadership, rather than from God on a pedestal, you know, as somebody who has to worship and hope and adore a God that, you know, you just, that intimacy is just not there. She smiled from ear to ear and said, oh my God, that's amazing. What an amazing thought. And I said, well, you know, that's, you know, getting your spirit in actuality and not as a ritual. Your spirit, not having a spiritual life, God in ritual, but becoming and finding a way to bring more of that God into your presence, your God presence into your everyday life as your presence. And she goes, wow. She goes, oh. And I said, I've written books on this so that people can read about it and understand it better. And the book is called Tango with the Divine. Bring your life into the light. That's Self-Gnosis 101. And she said, oh, that's great. You've written a book. I'm going to get it and read it. I need to understand this idea better. You know, and what was interesting was, what was the prelude into that conversation was, we were talking about different various things, and she says, I would like to be more like you. And that's what led me to reach out to bring a stronger connection to her, because what she was seeing in me was my presence, my spirit having actual ability to be who I am in daily life. And that's beautiful. It is the most beautiful part of all of us. And it is what we all want to be. We want all to be more like that. But it doesn't work for you to be more like that if your practices are not going to correctly make that what is the result of your actions. Does that make sense? Will, does that make sense?
Of course it makes sense. I mean, this is what people are really missing, we'll say, in their life, because, well, we'll just talk about, let's just bring, we've talked a little bit about the Aikido way of spirit harmony and how this helps connect people in their core sense, because, well, I have people, as an example, Sharon's has an example, there was Sammy, I was there with Jack. I mean, his whole thing has been disconnected his whole life. And he knows it, but he will admit, say, coming to the sessions and everything and having to deal directly with another person, he admits, well, I have to trust you. I have to open myself up to you, whereas I might not do it elsewhere all the time, but if I come here, I know I have to be more ethically centered and balanced in my relationship with whoever I'm working out with. I thought this was kind of amazing because none of you have ever met Jack. He's a fairly unique individual, very bright, but kind of caught up in his own centered, I guess, egoic world and thinks that's everything. But he's having to grow outside of this box of his own interpretations from his own experience, which is what kind of Sharon's talking about.
And that is the essence of not being able to sort out what is different from spiritual, which is ritualized learning about things. And when we heavily throw our heart and soul into it, it's difficult for us, and it's not really working. It's very difficult for us to come face to face with the fact that it's not working. It's even more difficult to come to the face that it's not working, not because it's not correct. It's easier for us to take the blame and say, I'm not doing it right. I need to do it harder. I need to do it better. I need to put more time in, because we would rather take the blame because we can control if I'm going to put more time into it or not. When we're faced with the idea that, oh my God, I've been involved with something that might not be correct and true, we're looking into a void because now we don't know for sure where to go next, what to do. And we have a little bit of that niggling trust that we don't want to face that says, can I trust myself to go looking for what is correct when I know I'm not sure what it looks like? Because I trusted myself that I got when I made the decision to do the practices I'm doing now, that I really examined it with enough mindfulness that I was doing the correct thing. To invest is to make it difficult to recognize and to pull away from something. And the more deeply invested we are, the more likely we are not going to be highly driven and motivated to look and accept our losses. That's one of the reasons we invest deeper and deeper and go deeper and deeper into and down the rabbit hole of a poor investment, because we keep hoping against hope that somehow there's something we just didn't quite see that would make it and redeem it and make it work and make it better and start to be profitable the way we want it to be for us.
Just wanted to remind everybody we have our guest calling number 619-789-4304. You want to call in and join into the conversation here with your ideas, opinions, or questions.
Well, would you give them that number? Would you give them that number one more time?
619-789-4304. And our chat room is also open.
You see, I know many people who are listening, if not most, are going to be hearing this, and it's going to be a little unsettling. But you know, if everything is kind of getting in a rut, and you've been doing your religious or your spiritual practice for a long time, and life is just still going on the same way, you get these moments where things are grand. You get these moments where things look great. You have these inspiring moments. And when you go to church, if it's and your spiritual practice is a ritual that is formulated in a certain way, and most of them are, they are stimulating your emotional body. And as you stimulate your emotional body, you start to drop different endorphins into your system that make you feel good. And it's very, very easy for us to take those feel-good feelings and equate them with the idea, this is correct, I'm on the right track. It's because we don't recognize and understand the dynamics of how ritual can drop endorphins. And how dropping endorphins makes us feel good, but is that the same as the sense of your presence? I can tell you from having done many rituals, built many altars in my lifetime, and have had many of these endorphin experiences where they feel good, and I really think, you know, I'm really getting this great thing going with God. It wasn't until I had the after-death experience that it was like harsh right there in my face. You know, as much as you love God with all your heart and soul, God wants you to get the real skinny, the real facts. Because at the rate you're going, your desire to be one with God is not going to be the outcome of all your arduous, fervent praying and spiritual life. It's just not taking you where it needs to take you. And your intention is strong with the divine. And in many ways, this after-death experience is to get you to get a big wake-up call. What you're doing is not working because it's not actually correct. Well, of course, coming back in my body, that was powerful. But it still took me a while. I mean, the human mind and the human psyche is wounded and has its ways and its fears because we're so connected to our ego mind and our spirit has been so marginalized to our actual spiritual presence, our spirit presence, not spiritual. Our spirit has actually been so marginalized to the outer edges of the borderland, so to speak, of our consciousness so that we can follow the beliefs that we really don't get the clarity we need. And that's what my after-death experience really made loud and clear. That light was so bright into my life, and I'm talking the light of clarity, of recognition of the truth, and that I had to be pursuing a way to get back to the divine that was different. Bottom line is, I'm going to throw a phrase out to you, and you're going to hear the phrase, but you're not really going to understand it because it took a long while for me to understand it. But it is the baseline. Since our spirit is an energy field in a human body, and it is a consciousness within a mind, it puts out an energy field that has a vibration, and it's a resonance factor. Until your holy resonance factor is 100% aligned with the divine, when you die, you find yourself not being able to go into eternity. You're staying in the life and its laws and rules, and you will recycle. A lot of people call that reincarnation. And you'll be seeking another body to come into with your refreshed awareness from the other side so that you can actually recognize and focus and so that you can do what you need exactly to do to go home, to be one with God. To be tangling with the divine completely and totally would be the same as to say your holy resonance factor is whole and complete, 100%. Then when you die, you no longer have a connection or a resonance, a magnetic attraction to life. It will be to your eternity, to your higher self, to God itself, to the Creator. And it will be so pure that you pass through the barrier that is the mind of life and your mind. Now, I just said a lot there, and you can contemplate that makes sense, but I know, in fact, it's really difficult to understand what did I really mean. Therefore, I'm going to suggest you pick up, like the woman that I met, got so excited and couldn't wait to get to the store to get a copy of Tangle with the Divine, you get yourself a copy of Tangle with the Divine so that you can get the bottom line to think about and meditate upon and let your presence move from the borderland and the outer edges in closer and start to stimulate that sense, oh my God, this makes sense. Sure, you're going to have to read the book slowly, because you're going to have to read something and then stop and say, what does that mean? And where am I in relationship to what I just read? Does it scare me? Does it frighten me? You got to read the whole book that way. I'm sorry, but that's the way the truth is going to have to strike you if you want to take control of your life and have authority over your mind. You're going to have to do this kind of thinking. That's being mature. Or you can continue to just do what feels good and not have to think about it anymore, and just be rather mindless about your spiritual practices. But if spirit in actuality is what really drives you, is really in your heart of hearts like it was in mine, then you're going to at least want to read and digest the material and the truth that's in Tangle with the Divine. And you know why? Because that is feeding your spirit energy, your spirit truth to yourself. And that is spirituality nutrition. The type of nutrition is the type of information that's true, will always be true, is 100%, has holy resonance with the divine, and therefore is the type of feast to sit down and start digesting slowly so that you can begin to say, okay, there is an answer, and there is a way for me to say what I'm doing is a ritual and keeping God at a distance. I now have something to fill that big empty void. And that's going to be an important step. And that's why I've written the books. I've written the books so you can have that next step feel more secure, so that it's not just walking down the primrose path of knowing nothing. I do think I'm starting to get a little beep in my headset, which means that the battery might be starting to go down. So, Will, would you like to
we can continue weigh in a little bit? Yeah. Well, now, so you're saying, just for our studio audience here, that the potential here is where you're going into, you're not searching anymore necessarily, but you're going more into a self-reflective, self-inquiry process that pretty much helps you to stay in resonance with your holy resonance instead of going off into searching again.
Absolutely. And that's why self-gnosis is called self-gnosis inquiry and self-gnosis spirit R&R, which is rehab and renaissance. But you start with the inquiry. Inquiry is the front door. That's where, and you have the responsibility because you are a spirit intelligence. And you have to be thinking and digesting and getting the nutrition of information that is the golden threads of truth, that which has always been true, without any hypothesis, without any theory on it, without any dogma hanging on it, without any ornamentation put on it, special clothing, special anything. It's got to just be the pure, simple food that is the truth. And Tangle with the Divine will offer you that.
Okay, so we could go into something maybe you can relate to. Be ye in the world, but not of it.
All of this is
a search. And if you keep searching outwardly, you never really get in connection with your inherent source connection, which is what Sharon's talking about.
Now, I don't want you to believe what you read in Tangle with the Divine. I want you to look at it as a meal, a nutrition that's being offered to you. What I'm asking is that you digest the information so that you really understand what you're reading. And you're going to have to take it as a slow read. Put it by your bedside. Take it with you when you've got time to read and think. Read and think. You'll have to contemplate, because it's the first door of the inquiry. And the first door is giving you that correct information. But the information is based on helping you get a new foundation and structure that will support how to learn to resurrect your lost and spirited skills, which are really cool, and in the process you have to heal your consciousness amnesia, where you cannot remember all the stuff that you're going to be reading at first. Initially you'll read and contemplate, and the reason it pulls your presence more forward is it takes your fear level down, because your presence can start to give you the stronger and stronger sense of, that's exactly what we've been looking for. That's exactly where we need to be so that we can learn how to tango. Because you're going to have to learn a few things. You have to heal your amnesia, and you're going to have to relearn things that you have forgotten. Did you hear what I say? Forgotten. So go to Amazon, go to Barnes & Noble, go to your favorite bookstore online or in presence. Go to your library. Ask for them to bring in Tangle with the Divine. I've made this book available worldwide, but I can't make you read it. You have to do that for yourself. I can't make you think about the information in it. You have to do that for yourself. That's your empowerment. Self-gnosis is to know yourself for who you truly are, so that, and how to get back to that state, strip the ego mind, which is blocking you and diluting you and just diffusing everything and throwing it all out there in this most fragmented way, to pull yourself and come back together to who you are, a very beloved partner with the divine. Till next week on the Edge of Truth. Thank you.